Peace be with all of you. Today we will talk about the Lord showing Himself after resurrection. And today a very interesting account will be read. It talks about the doubt of Thomas. And in the four Gospels, this account is only recorded in the book of John. So after recording the doubt of Thomas, John bring out the theme of the book of John, and that is, we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and so that by faith we can be justified. So in these few weeks, if you have been hearing my emphasis, especially our Lord Jesus, after His resurrection, He appeared to the women, to Mary Magdalene, to the disciples. So that after seeing His resurrection, they will go and witness for Him. And so that those who hear their testimony can hear the testimonies of the witnesses. And so we have been emphasizing faith, because the faith of the gospel is from faith to faith. Without faith, man cannot please God. So without faith, you sit here, you cannot see God. Even if your situation is very good, you thought you have believed, but yet actually you have not believed. So faith is the most critical thing in our whole faith, whole belief. So now, before Jesus ascended to heaven, after Jesus ascended into heaven, by the Holy Spirit, God will be with the people of God. And so that by faith, they will see the presence of God. So the problem of, church is not with regard to faith. Because we know that the most important doctrine of the church is justification by faith. So, ordinary believers have no issue with this justification by faith. But what I've found is, after being justified by faith, they do not pursue a living which is justified by faith. So they are just happy that they are justified by faith and they can go to heaven. And after that, the kind of faith that they pursue is by sight. So in fact, they receive everything by faith. They receive the abundant life in Christ by faith. But right now, as they are learning faith, they want to get their wishes granted by their faith. So they keep thinking that if I believe, I will get what I want. So it's not that many people do not understand what is meant by faith. They know that they need to see the Lord by faith. They know they can only stand before God by faith. And we are saved by faith through grace. But we need to add faith upon faith. We must see the Lord by faith continuously. But instead, humans now, they are seeking for what their visible eyes can see. And so they proclaim that, you know, I believe in God, I believe in God's blessings. Actually, many a times they are like hypnotizing themselves and they don't know what they are proclaiming. And so they shouted to God, but God is not deaf. So those without faith, they use a lot of methods to come before God. They proclaim this, and they pray that, and then they deliver this, and they heal that. But strangely, when some trials or sufferings come, when there's a long period of trials, they became more and more discouraged and helpless. And slowly, you cannot see them in church anymore. So we cannot fool God and ourselves. Now, if you do not go by the faith of by the path of faith, you will lose out. Some people, they remain in a form of doubt for 10 years, 20 years. They do not even have the heart to pray. I've heard people mention that I've been so zealous to serve the Lord. I've been to missions here and there. Now, if back then you did it by faith, then why is your current state right now like this? We should be adding faith to faith. So many a times we didn't ponder whether we have come before God with a full and pure faith. Now, if you have true faith, you look at Hebrews chapter 11. It talks about the accounts of all the people of faith, and they mentioned that all these people were commended by God because of their faith. They did not get what they have not seen what was promised. Abraham given birth to Isaac, but he had not seen that his descendants were as numerous as the sand and as the stars in the skies. Some people, they never see the promises fulfilled, but eventually, by faith, they come before God, and in heaven, they witness how God's faithfulness came to all saints throughout generations, and eventually, together with all the saints, they will get the eternal reward. So, the modern believers have already twisted the meaning of faith. We thought that if I believe, that means I ask from God for some things very zealously, or I serve fervently so that God will give me what I want, and that is faith. Now, that is the opposite of true faith. So I want to emphasize, after Jesus' resurrection, why did John say, why did John talk about the doubt of Thomas? And then Jesus said, Thomas, you believe after seeing, but blessed are those who can see even without seeing. And so the book of John also mentioned that this book of John was written about what Jesus had done. It's not to tell you that if Jesus walked on water, then you should also walk on water. Or if Jesus can feed the 5,000, you should also ask God for the same. But John mentioned that the reason why I wrote the book of John is for you to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, so that by faith in Him, you will have eternal life. So now we ask, why is it that we so easily have doubts in our lives? So why do our lives have doubts so easily? There's a few reasons, but a few main reasons are, first, this belief is a natural instinct of men. We are born in unbelief. So one day we are born again, you can see God, but we very easily fall back into living by sight, because sin will prevent us to see God so easily. Because sin will make us want to go by sight and want to be provoked by good things and benefits and advantages in front of us, and we thought that is good. Of course, God will give us His blessing timely, and He will provide for us. We have come thus far, and God has kept us so far. Many a times, we have problems, and God has led us through. But before God, we are not just to... But before God, we are not seeking the life of faith, but we are seeking the life of sight. Now, the physical eyes will deteriorate over time. But yet, by flesh, we keep wanting to see and hear certain things. And this hand of flesh, we keep wanting to acquire certain materials, success or achievement. And then with those things, then you believe. But once situation change, you look at your faith. You have found a good job, but once you enter into the job, the boss didn't appreciate you, and you don't have good relationship with your colleagues, then you start to become discouraged again, and you lose the heart to pray. So, this belief is our natural instinct. So for our whole life, we have to battle with our unbelief. We are not just supposed to follow God when He grants us our wishes. And second thing, why do men doubt so easily, even upon Christians? Usually I realize our human spirit is very fragile. Especially if we have been hit severely before, we have very severe setbacks, or we have been traumatized before. So the blows that we have received affect our faith. So for Thomas, I suppose Thomas, he saw with his own eyes that Jesus died on the cross, and so he was thoroughly saddened and traumatized. And then suddenly the Lord appeared and he was not there, and so he was still sorrowful. And he returned to the 10 disciples, and the 10 disciples told him, you know, where are you, Thomas? We have all seen the Lord. The Lord has resurrected. You think about his state of heart back then. He had not walked out from his trauma and sorrow. And then so he said, I don't believe in this unless I see the nail marks on his hands and I've touched him. Otherwise, I won't believe. So we saw there's a certain kind of stubbornness in him. Sometimes we are also like this. In our life, we may face certain setbacks and problems, and we are stuck there. And we are always perplexed. We remain perplexed in our hearts, and we keep thinking about the matter. And in the end, we have no answers. And so we remain in a kind of a spiritual hardness. And sometimes we also remain in the state of self-pity. And some people, they remain in this situation for a long time. And when they hear in the church that God wants to bless them, they have no conviction at all, because they feel that anything good wouldn't happen to them. And so when the pastor talk about God wants to discipline you, and then they will say, this is what happens to me. So that kind of self-pity, and they have this kind of perplexity in their heart. And if you and a lot of setbacks in your life is not resolved, and you are always being hit without an answer, and as you keep getting sorrowful because of this, you will end up in this state. Either you are self-pity, or you have this hardened disbelief. And such a person cannot receive God's word. When people pray for him, he will open his eyes and lack a tinge of conviction, because there's a very serious and grave doubt within him. So how can we help such a person? Now, some people in the church, they're very smart, so they bring such a person to healing and deliverance meetings. I always talk about this. So surround him with many people, lay hands on him. You talk about the hurts within you, whatever unforgiveness in you, whatever sorrows in you. The Lord understands you, the Lord hugs you, and then everybody pray for him, even pray with tongues. No, God never asks us to do such things. This person, his problem is not emotional. His problem is within him, there is a spirit of doubt and unbelief, and he had not come before God to solve the problem. He will not be set free just by people praying over him loudly. There's a problem between him and God. So such a person, when you use the wrong method on him, so in the church, there's many people under trauma, disappointments, and setbacks. But the church didn't bring him to the Word of God to use the Word of God to confirm with him or heal him, to help him understand, to help him see the Lord. Just like the Lord drew near to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, you have been slow in faith. Let me explain to you. The word of the scriptures have all been fulfilled. And then he explained bit by bit to the disciples and confirmed with the disciples. And then the disciples' heart became zealous and passionate again. But now, modern churches are not using this method. Modern churches, they just use emotional methods to give a person a moment of high and excitement. But the moment this person leaves the situation, he is still left without answer. Now, if you only go to the meetings that give you temporal relief, after that, your situation is still the same, your marriage, your work, your feeling is still the same, and then you will become more and more discouraged and doubtful. Do not think that pastor always like to attack people. That's not my point. My point is not to criticize people, but to reform the church for people to come before God in a rooted way based on the revealed word of God. Now, Christ has already been incarnated. The word became flesh, and Christ has already ascended to heaven. And Holy Spirit is with us to remind us of all the words that Christ has told us, and we are given the Bible. So we should remember, we should confirm and connect God's word and realize that God has never left us all along. What is God's guidance in my life, my family, and how should I submit to God? And then you should surrender to God, and when you do that, amazingly, the spirit of doubt will be driven away. You'll be liberated from the state of doubt. Your situation may still be the same, but amazingly, you can praise God. But before that, you keep holding on to the doubt, and then there's a kind of stubbornness in you to prevent you from believing. You won't say, "I don't want to believe." You will just say, "I believe, but you know, like that, Lord. I've been believing for so long. I know God's word. I've been attending more Bible study classes than you." But yet, such a person did not believe and still remain in a state of unbelief. So today, many believers are like Thomas. They are moving further away from the path of faith. Now, you cannot blame others for your own problem because it's your own spiritual problem. But the wrong teachings of people beside you will aggravate the situation. Now, but we thank God, what is the answer? The answer is not found in Pastor Vincent, but the answer comes because the Lord Himself searches for His lost sheep. Now, which of the disciples is not found by the Lord Himself? Now, the 11 apostles, the Mary Magdalene, the women, the 500 people, the Lord went to them to seek them personally. Even Thomas, even though he so persistently refused to believe, even so, Jesus appeared before Thomas. Now, Thomas, look at my nail marks. Touch my side, which had been pierced for you. And that is the Lord seeks for His lost sheep by His mercy and grace. The Lord has sought us. So we really need to thank God for this. This is God's faithfulness. In our life, how many times we have doubted God, but God has never left us because of our doubts. Now, so today, even if you are very weak and you are very doubtful, but why are you still seated in the church of God? You must not think that you still have faith. In fact, God is the one who sustains your faith. God keeps you so that you can still sit in the church of God to hear the word of God. The Lord has mercy on us. But God's mercy should not be our excuse. Now, some people, when they read this passage, and then they say, "Now, Lord, you will appear to Thomas when he doubted. Now, today, I'm very doubtful. I've been doubting for so long. Can tonight, in my dream, can you please appear to me? Or later on my way home, can you appear to me and sit beside me and say, 'Peace be with you. Hello.'" So many people, they think then when we humans are so too sorrowful, God will come to appear to me and speak to us personally. In my years of shepherding, I've heard many times, of course, when people are very sorrowful, they shared that, you know, on my way home, I really see the Lord. Suddenly, I saw this rainbow in heaven and the Lord appeared beside me. I cannot say there's no such thing. I also cannot say it's illusions, but I always tell them, God is already with you. Brothers and sisters, God has not left you in your misery. But what I wanted to say is, today, the Lord has already ascended to heaven and is interceding for us and is with us through the Holy Spirit. So today, if you are very miserable, then God just appears to you, and then tomorrow you are miserable again and God appears again. Then how do you know? Today, the one who appears is Jesus Christ. Tomorrow is also Jesus Christ, or is it the fallen angel pretending to be Jesus? So this is dangerous. Another thing is, if the Lord appears to me to speak to me like this and to other brethren, so if everybody can see the Lord themselves, then it's very messy. Because when the Lord talks, what the Lord talks to you and to the other person is different. No, the Lord may, some people may say, "I'm single for a long time, but the Lord, you prepared that sister for me." But another brother also get the same voice from God, you know, also prepared the same sister for another brother. So it's very messy. Two brothers received seemingly voices from God telling them that he had prepared the same sister for them. So now we are always very concerned about what we are so miserable about right now. But you have to ask whether that is your selfish desire or whether that voice comes from the Word of God. If you only want to sense it from your physical eyes and ears, then you are moving more and more toward a belief that is by sight. And that is easily deceivable. But if we go back to the Word of God, which has been completely revealed to us, and we submit and confirm God's Word, and find comfort and answers from the Word of God, and then we know God's perfect will, and then the Holy Spirit will make us see God by faith through His Word. It's not that the method that God has given us is hard, but it's because of our spiritual problem, and we are too used since we are born as a young baby. This original sin is already in us while we are in the womb. And so because of this sin, we like to go by sight. And we must admit this. So from the Bible, we must understand how serious our spiritual problem is. So only when our human body decays and then we are out of this body, and then we can see the spiritual, and then we realize by then that what we used to cherish so much about human materials and achievements are not so important anymore. Only then we will be able to see God with our eyes. But right now we are going through the lesson of faith, and this lesson of faith protect our life so that we will not be easily deceived by the devil, and so that we have wisdom in all things by faith. So the book of John is a beautiful gospel, especially with the account of Jesus' resurrection. Now let's look at the book of John, chapter 20, verse 24. Now Thomas called Didymus, one of the twelve, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So we will know. Last week I mentioned the Lord had appeared the fifth time to the disciples, and just happened that Thomas was not around, and the Bible didn't mention why was Thomas absent. But from here we know that brethren living is so important. Why is brethren living so important? Now you're all seated in the church and the word of God is being preached. Everyone hears the word of God. People beside you also hear the word of God. And then you have this community, and together as a community, you see the work of the Lord. After that, you share your news with one another, and the Holy Spirit works in the midst of this. And this is what you cannot receive by staying at home. Sometimes, for example, in prayer meeting or cell groups, and that day we have the work of the Holy Spirit, we hear the testimonies of brethren, and the pastor also shares certain message. And you really feel like going back home to tell your family members what happened in the prayer meetings. So it's not by going home to tell your family members, then your family members can get it. So humans, we have this physical body. Physically, when you're in a situation and God works in that situation once and it will not be repeated. Of course, some brethren said, pastors, every church meeting is important. Of course, that is. But you need to strive to come. But of course, when certain serious things happens, you cannot come to church, of course. So my point is, do not get absent from church without good reason. So even in the pandemic, some things we understand. The lesson of faith. Sometimes there are certain external situations, but let's look at the word of God. So when Jesus first appeared to the disciples, Thomas was absent. But verse 25, so the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But what did Thomas reply? But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." So you look at his words. He firmly refused to believe. So Thomas was one of the 12. It's not that he's very stubborn, but I think that it's because when he saw Jesus being crucified, his heart was greatly, his heart received a huge blow, and so he's still grieving. And so when he received this information, he cannot switch his mood to believe. So his response is this: "I cannot believe it. How can it be?" And so he said, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, I put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side." So sometimes we know that the Bible records it this way, but we must think through. When Thomas said this, can you imagine his heart? What I think is, Thomas, he must be very sorrowful right now. What do you think? He must not have any joy, because usually I realize those with doubts, especially the people of God, they will be extremely miserable. They will be sadder than non-believers. Just like the sheep, when the sheep cannot see the Lord, that's how it is. So doubt is a spiritual problem. So the problem of being unable to see God, that is spiritual problem, will become the problem in the heart, where you feel sorrowful and worried. And so, if we want to get true healing and deliverance, we must enable a person to see the Lord from the Word of God, to first believe in the Word of God, And we cannot just stir up people by their emotions. If we use a massive environment to try to heal a person's emotions, that is useless. Now the Lord has mercy on Thomas, and when Thomas said that, a week later, so that is the next Sabbath. So a week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." The Lord still first brings peace to his people, and we thank God for that. And then he said to Thomas, and he faced Thomas and put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Look, the Lord knows everything. The Lord knows where Thomas' doubts were. And so from the words of Jesus, we can think through 3 points. First, from the appearance of the Lord to Thomas, the first thing we see is God's grace and mercy. So each of us, more or less, we have certain doubts. In fact, when we doubt, we cannot believe. But the Lord draws near to us. The Lord first draws near to us. The Lord sustains us. Then we will not sink deeper into our doubts. And some people say, "Brother, when you do not believe, let me tell you a method. You must read the Bible, read and read. And then you pray and pray and pray, pray and read the Bible, pray and read the Bible." What he says is not wrong, but the way he said it is as if he's very great. The Bible doesn't talk about man's greatness. The Bible talks about when you are able to rise up from your weaknesses, to pray, to read the Bible, you must know that is because of God's mercy. God has showed you grace. So humans are like this. No one man has the power to find God himself, but the Lord showed grace to the weak Thomas. So that's the first message for you, especially when you're weak. Please remember this. The Lord showed grace to the weak me so that I can be even more humble, and do not rationalize your weakness. Second, when Jesus appeared to Thomas, he also brought rebuke. Stop doubting and believe. Why is it that you have heard the accounts of so many witnesses and yet you still doubt? Why do you still hold on to your own opinions and gratify your own emotions? Now, Mary Magdalene, the women, and the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and the rest of the disciples would have told Thomas about the appearance of Jesus. So many people have shared with Thomas before. Now, sometimes when we are weak, it's not just God didn't just talk to us by one person. Now, pastor mentioned already, and then the spouse may have shared with you, and then sometimes even your children encourage you. Through many people, they have given us testimony. So your heart should be softened. Now, when more and more people come to tell you and you continue not to believe, then the grace you receive is less and less. So sometimes when we want to hear the word of God, we need to be firm. We cannot just be emotional and remain in self-pity and refuse to hear the word of God. You just feel sorry for yourself. You cannot remain like this. And some people, they are very proud. I do not believe. They are very proud. But some people, they just feel sorry for themselves. Although you look at them, they are like very soft and weak. They are actually very hardened inside, and God doesn't like that kind of hardness. So as I preach, you need to confirm in your spirit what the pastor is talking about. So a lot of times, our disbelief will show up in these ways. So the Lord will rebuke us. Why should such a person be rebuked? Because indirectly, this person will lift up himself. Whether it's pride or self-pity, both will lift up themselves. They need to be rebuilt in order to be awakened. So our Lord will also give us words of rebuke. He gave us grace, but He also rebukes us. And third, the Lord says something very important. Reach out your hand and put it into my sight and see my hands. So Jesus' hands and sight refers to, it talks about God's sacrificial and great love. His hands and the sight that and His sight which has been pierced for our sake had healed us, and so we need to look to His pierced hands. In other words, we need to look to His sacrificial love for us. So sometimes when we do not believe, the Lord first nourishes our heart with His love. Sometimes when you are in agony and misery, suddenly the Lord uses an incident to comfort you. There are such cases. Sometimes you see a brethren who is weak and doubting. And you cannot just say, brother, you need to repent. Of course, you need to repent. But you must tell the brother first that, brother, you must know that the Lord has not left you, but you must not remain in such an emotion because this is wrong. The Lord loves you. You look at your whole life. What the Lord has given you, God is not just giving you temporal stuff, but God has given you, what God wants to give you is eternal stuff. Let him see that God's love has never left him. Use the gentle whispers of love to nourish the person's heart. So when a person's heart is being nourished, suddenly he will regain faith. So love and faith come together. Some people, they lack faith, but when they see the love of God, their faith will be revived. And some people, when they have faith, they all the more can see God's love. You cannot say which comes first, love and faith. Of course, we know it's all started from faith because everybody is justified by faith. But within this faith, there is also the loving relationship with God. So complete faith will move toward perfect love. And so this is what the Lord is always doing in our lives. So right now, Thomas responded to God by faith. And so Thomas said to him, my Lord, my God. So his faith was turned around 180 degrees. So he's suddenly full of joy and hope. Sometimes, Pastor, know that some of you are always in agony. I also feel helpless, but I have a lot of empathy for you. I always pray that God will show mercy to such a person. God loves this person and never left this person. So I pray, God, please let him see your love so that in an instant, he will turn back to you and he will give up his stubbornness and agony and he will turn to you. And that moment is like the sheep returning to the shepherd, to the sheep pen. It's something so joyful. So today when the Lord appears to Thomas in this way, we need to rise up and stop lamenting. Do not decide to be stubborn all the way. We need to let go of the stubborn temperament and surrender before God. And after you surrender, you will immediately see God's greatest God's greater grace come upon you. So Thomas said, my Lord and my God, and you can also call out in this way to God, and when you do that, your enemies will leave you. And then verse 29, let's read together. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Now this is such an important sentence. And before John concludes, this is something very important. And this is what the Lord has been trying to tell all people and believers of all generations. Jesus has been wanting to tell us, you've seen me and you believe, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And so this tells us very clearly there's indeed big and small blessings. Now, if you see and believe, at least you are better than the Pharisees. But this is still something very natural. But those who believe without seeing, this is supernatural. So, what does this statement mean? Of course, here it talks about Jesus' appearance, but here I want to use 6 points to explain this. What is meant by belief without seeing? So this believing, this seeing talks about physical senses, maybe our head, our mind, our 5 senses, what humans can be in contact, what humans can comprehend. I must go through physical senses then believe or what? So let's think about 6 things. What is meant by believing without seeing? So other than the apostles, we all hear the testimonies of witnesses, then we believe. We have not seen Jesus resurrected, so we are all justified by faith. We have believed without seeing, so we are blessed. So this is the first most important thing. Those who are justified by faith are already blessed. So please continue to move toward the living of justification by faith, not by sight. So that's the first point. And second point, remember. So it refers to those who do not rely on very special subjective experience. So they only believe just by reading the Word of God and hearing the Word of God. And so such people are really blessed. Now in these end times, many people have very subjective experiences. You must be careful. If you keep yearning for subjective experiences, dreams, illusions, visions, and special voices, if we keep relying on this, then our blessings will reduce. So do not pursue all these things. So do not depend on those things, those feelings, or those illusions or dreams. Do not rely on those things. The more you rely on those things, then the more your blessings will be reduced. And you will not have the normal faith that comes from hearing the Word of God. You cannot sustain a normal faith, and you must be stirred up by your physical senses. So we need to be very careful. So Holy Spirit is living in believers' heart. And third, do not just believe because of your smooth sailing circumstances. Sometimes God gives us certain difficulties. Do not keep saying that only when this situation turns around, when my problem of my children or my marriage problem, my work problems, my health problems are resolved, then I will believe. When you are still in those states, you wrestle with God, and in the midst of this, you realize that in fact, Paul also had a thorn in the flesh, and all the apostles also have their own hardships. And Jesus said, in this world you have troubles, but God has overcome. And in the midst of this, your heart will turn from the things on earth to things in heaven. Now, if you keep wanting your situations to turn from negative to positive, then you can hallelujah and praise the Lord. You thought you have greater and greater faith. Actually, that's not the case. Your faith is growing smaller and smaller. Because you must have all these positive things, then you can believe. But you cannot believe by the mere words of God from His mouth. So, that's the third point. Now, in our life, God will not make it so that everything in our life is bad. But it is also not everything will be good. Oh, sorry. I need to say again. Everything is good, but it's not everything is positive by human sight. Let me say it again. In our life, we will not have all negative things, but not everything will go with our wishes. There'll be certain situations which is not so ideal. In 10 matters, maybe one or two matters will make you worried and struggle. And that is that one or two things for you to wrestle and rely on the Lord to remind you of God's word, to come before God, to commit to Him and take the path of faith. And fourth, some people, they think that all my difficult questions of faith, I need answers. Lord, why do you give me my physical illness? Lord, why is there suffering? You need to answer the riddles for me. Of course, God's word can give us the answer, but no one person can say, only when my logic is totally convinced or my rationality is fully persuaded, then I can believe. But you cannot say that the answers must fit your logic, because God's work is supernatural. It's not everything you hear can be accepted by your logic and feelings at this moment. Maybe temporarily you cannot understand fully, but you still believe that He is God and your good is not apart from Him. And so you keep believing Him. I have no time for examples, but confirm this for yourself. And fifth, another problem is some people who serve the Lord, they must have very obvious fruits in their serving, then they can have faith. We want to have fruits, success. The Lord didn't ask us to be successful. What the Lord wants us is your faithfulness. You must be a faithful and good servant, and you can be rewarded by God. Faithful and good. God didn't say, oh, you have done well, and then you are successful, and then you receive reward. So today, we must understand our faith journey, our serving path may be ups and downs. For pastor, I've been shepherding for my life. Some brethren and co-workers have also left me. And there's also unhappy separation. But we cannot, because of all these things, then we say, God, where are you? We must have this assurance in our heart. When we faithfully share God's word, God will surely work. Another problem is sometimes people must see people's help, then they can believe. So some people, when you have problem, when our brethren have problem, we need to help them. But you need to realize that not every situation you have people coming into your life to help you. Some things you have to go through but alone with God. If you say no one supports you, and then you are weak and you cannot believe, then your faith is always at the infancy stage. So, do not just go by sight. Blessed are those who believe even without seeing. So I use these six areas to explain this verse to you. So think through more on your own. And then after that, John gave a very important conclusion. Verse 30, Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples which are not recorded in this book. So we knew that what Jesus had done is definitely beyond the record of the book of John. Now, the relationship between John and the Lord, the relationship made him see all the various works of Jesus. Now, today, if I pass on and my wife is to write about me, she will have many things to write. Because she knew a lot about me. If I ask another brethren to talk about my life, they may only give certain subjective experiences. So, John's meaning is what I've seen is far beyond what I've written down, but selectively I've written down some of what Jesus had done. So, from the first miracle, the water turning to wine, and the healing of the paralyzed, feeding of 5,000, walking on water, making Lazarus came to life, and he himself also resurrected. John selectively wrote down all these things for one reason, verse 31, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. So, 2 points can be gathered from here. First, who is he? He is Christ, the Son of God. And the Son of God is the firstborn. Then firstborn is not he is being born by God, but he is the first of life. He's the I am. It's not first there is God and then God give birth to the Son. No, humans are like this, but firstborn is the first of life. He is equal and together with Father God eternally. And everything was created by him, for him, through him. So he is the Son of God. He is the Savior, Lord, and Christ of everyone, the Messiah, and the Anointed One. So that by reading all these things, you know who he is. And you can develop a relationship with him in his life through faith. Through faith. You believe in him and you have abundant life. So faith is not a human decision or human transaction that, no, I believe, then what can you give me, God? But in faith, God comes to a human's life and have an eternal relationship with men. So faith is an evidence so that after you hear, you believe, you know that God has come to you. And when God's word is being preached today, you believe, and then this word is fulfilled in your life. You believe and you have life. Believe him, you will come out of darkness into light. Your hunger will be fed. You will move from eternal death to eternal life. So, if you receive life by faith, you will also live by faith. There's no other way. So, I want to bless all of you, and I pray that you must know that the pursuit of our faith is very important. When you come to our church, what I keep wanting to bring out is what? Go back to the Word of God. What you do not understand, Pastor will explain to you. But after that, if you are still perplexed, you know it's because of your doubt. You know you need to go back to the Word of God. Because this Word has life and spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit. And as you continue to read and meditate, then amazingly, faith will develop in you. And through His Word, God will also have a relationship with you. So may the Lord bless all of you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for using your word to bless us, to illuminate us. Lord, in this lesson of faith, what we lack, or in areas in which we self-deceive, Lord, in the name of Christ, we want to remove all these things so that purely we can come before you, purely, and we can know the power of your words. Lord, let us know that you are winning us over by your word. Lord, please heal those who need healing. Lord, we thank you and we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.